Outdoors of El Pacifico.
I'd love to
Phil Hendry.
All right, back on the line here. It is the world famous Phil Hendry Show, and we do have Dean Wheeler on the line with us from Northern California, from Novato. And you did not mind at all that we put the phone call back into Mr. DeCartis, so we did. Gene, how are you doing?
I'm great, thank you.
And Dean, you're there, right?
I am, Phil. I've been here for the last 7 minutes, and I apologize for making an issue of you cutting me off, but I my understanding was I was going to be on for the segment.
Well, and I'm sorry, we brought you on too early. The segment is this segment. We brought you on before the news.
And that is my understanding. I apologize.
You don't have anything to apologize for. And, Gene, we brought you back on because the comment is as follows. You talking about Anderson Cooper getting hit with a metal sign. No, he wasn't, folks. I want everybody to know that that didn't happen. This is the fantasy you had.
I don't want to make a... As I said, I don't want that to happen, but I had a fantasy about that. And I, because of his liberal views and because of the liberal views of his network, I fantasized that I hope I'd see a metal sign flying through the shot, as they call it in television, and the metal sign would fly through the shot and would hit him or slice, you know, his head off.
God almighty.
All right, well, Dean, we'll get to you in a minute.
Well, I said I didn't want it to happen, sir.
God almighty.
We'll get to you in a minute, Dean.
I understand.
That was not anything I wanted to see happen.
Oh, God.
As I said, sir, it's not anything I wanted to see happen, but I've made the comment because I was tired of his liberalism.
All right, Dean, you had an observation on all of this.
I did have an observation because the exact same instinct happened to me as I was watching Fox. See, this is what I mean. That's why I didn't want to bring it up.
Well, allow me to finish what I'm going to say. I saw the reporter on Fox. I don't know what his name is, but he was battling these winds, standing in the middle of the street, trying to maintain his balance, trying to maintain this upright position in the shot. And all I could think about was this prayer. It was almost like a prayer. I can't call it anything else. That sick to me. Why is that sick?
I think when you invoke God to
well, it was a prayer, but let me finish. It was a prayer that I didn't even know I was uttering. It was a prayer that he would lose his balance and get picked up and slammed into the plate glass of a storefront.
I never wanted that to happen to Anderson Cooper, Phil.
Yeah, I think you did when you said you wanted to see the sign sliced through his neck.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Well, you know, my wife is the one that brought that up.
Well, your wife brought it up, but you endorsed it with your laughter. I heard you laughing.
I don't think so. I think what I said...
Yes, you did. I heard you laughing.
Well, what I said was this. I said to Karen, oh, my God, I didn't think that was a very pleasant thought. But I said, she said to me, it's likely to happen because the sign gets parallel to the ground and becomes this slicing machine.
Yeah, and I can't for the life of me understand how you don't see that as equally, if you are condemning what I'm saying, and I said to you that mine was an instinct that was not conscious. Mine wasn't either.
But see, both of you guys are saying that neither one of you meant to think what you were thinking. And that's the problem that I have with both of you. I think you have to drop that. I think you might as well just cop to, you know, the belief that this was something that was...
Bill, I swear to God, it was not something that I wanted to... I didn't sit down and say, I really want to see this happen to him. It came into my mind when I saw how tough that wind looked.
And it was the same with me. But can I make this point? Now, here is the gentleman that I'm looking at on CNN. He's wearing a green slicker. It's actually a female, and they've got her standing with a live mic. She is battling the wind. At any moment, she is going to be carried away by that wind. I can see her turning her head to the left. She's now ducking her head down. She's trying to crouch into a, if you will, a smaller target so the wind doesn't have as much to catch a hold of. And eventually, and again, it was by instinct, pick her up and slam her into a storefront with a lot of glass.
You don't call that a sick instinct.
I didn't say that. I said, as you said, it was not something that I planned out. It just came to me.
All right. I think you guys need to drop that. Okay? And I'll tell you why. In your case, Dean, there's it's very specific what you're saying.
It is. Very much so.
What do you mean?
You're saying, you're looking at this woman and you're saying, oh, I want the wind to pick her up and slam her into a glass.
All right. When does the audience say, Mr. Hendry's laughing, this must be some kind of comedy sketch? When does the audience say that?
I don't think it's a comedy sketch. I think probably Phil is in disbelief.
Well, I have to be honest with you. The specificity that you're lending to what you're saying, Dean, is slightly comedic. Yeah.
I think it's probably hysterical shock, though, in a lot of ways.
No, I don't agree with that.
All right, let me just tell you. You're talking about the woman getting picked up and slammed into a plate glass window, and you, Mr. DeCarta, you're talking about Anderson Cooper having his head sliced off with a flying metal sign. Both of you guys have lent a specificity to your thought or your fantasy, if you want to call it that, that I think puts a lie to the claim it was just an instinct that just came out of me. I didn't know where it came from. I think both of you guys gave it some thought. Our number, 877-876-7445. Here on the Phil Hendry Show, I'm talking here with Gene DeCarta and with Dean Wheeler. Margaret Gray on the line with us from Santa Monica. Go ahead, Margaret. Okay, is Margaret there?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Margaret.
You know, I'm listening to the two men right now, and I am really sickened by what I'm hearing. To hear Anderson Cooper spoken of as if he is something that we can watch on television to be slaughtered. Because I think the man there, Mr. DeCarta?
Yeah, this is Gene DeCarta.
I'm a journalist, sir, and I write a column for a large national syndicate. And I'm not saying I'm going to write an article or a column about your observations or Mr. Wheeler's, but I am sickened by the notion that Anderson Cooper is slaughtered on television for your amusement.
Well, what about what this man said?
Well, I'll get to what Mr. Wheeler said, but Anderson Cooper's a very well-known man. Now, who are you talking about, Mr. Wheeler?
I'm talking about whoever it is that's on Fox.
Who specifically, though?
Yeah, who is the reporter?
I don't know. A female in a green slicker.
All right, so he is not lending specificity to what he's saying. She is an anonymity. I don't know how to say it.
An anonymity.
An anonymity, yes. And
does that make what I said worse?
It does, because what you're saying is this man, this icon, Anderson Cooper, ha, 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 he's slaughtered like an animal. Mr. Wheeler is saying this person, this individual, some woman in a green slicker, ha, 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 she's lifted up about 3 feet off the ground and then flies backwards in a standing position, but she's up off the ground and flying, still holding the microphone, correct?
Yes, that's how I see it, yeah.
All right. And then slams into a plate glass window?
Well, a glass storefront.
A glass storefront.
Why is that I don't understand why that's not just as bad.
I don't either.
Because, and I'll say it again, if I have to repeat it another few times, I will. It's all right. I've got time. There is the...
I know what you're... She doesn't have a name.
Mr. Hendry, I was about to say something, and as soon as I was going to say it, you... I know it! Did you hear what you just did?
I did, Margaret. I thought it was a bit abrupt, Phil.
What was abrupt? I know what you're going to say. You're going to say because she's anonymous.
Can I say it?
You can. This is Gene DeCarta, Ms. Gray. I don't mean to be rude. I just you can say it, but I think we all know what you're going to say.
Well, you all know what I'm going to say now because Hendry said it. I was going to say yes. It is not as bad because there is an anonymity to that.
There's an anonymity to it, and yet I heard you and Mr. Wheeler say you can envision this woman being lifted up off the ground by the hurricane winds, thrown back through the air, still in a standing position and holding the microphone, and then slammed into a glass storefront.
Yes.
And with all of that detail, you don't find it as gruesome as the concept of Anderson Cooper being beheaded by a flying stop sign.
Phil, can I speak? Go ahead. I really don't, Phil. I really don't. I don't think it's as bad. I think you're talking about a real man who we just saw on the Gloria Vanderbilt show, or it must have been the other way around. It was his show. He had his mother on. Okay. I thought I saw him on the Gloria Vanderbilt show, but I guess I'm wrong.
There is no Gloria Vanderbilt show, no.
All right. But we just saw this man, someone that we respect, someone that we admire, and to imagine him having his head sliced clean off. Oh, God. That's why I was sickened, Phil.
Well, all right. We'll take a break right now on the Phil Hendry Show.
This is what I mean. Every time I get on a roll.
You're not on a roll. I already get to... What do you mean? Every time you're on a roll.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Are you laughing at me? I think that that is very rude.
Mr. Henry's making a good point here. He has to break.
And what broadcasting school did you go to?
Hold on. Just everybody. 877. When I get on a roll. 877-877-6-7445. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We are trying to do some Gulf storm coverage tonight. We are certainly going to be mindful of any news that breaks from the Gulf Coast having to do with serious injury or, God forbid, any fatality. And we are very, very much mindful of that as we speak here to Margaret Gray as well as Dean Wheeler and others about some whack political fantasy these people are having in the midst of this terribly stressing situation in New Orleans and elsewhere on the Gulf Coast. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show will be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
That went on forever and ever. We're going to be on the air here without it, you know?
I ain't telling that.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. This evening on the line with me is not only Margaret Gray and Dean Wheeler, as well as Gene DiCarta, talking about the news coverage of the hurricane this evening, and the political, if you will, some of the political message that can be read into it. Although, truth be told, and Bob Bakian is also going to join us, by the way, from New Orleans in just a moment. The truth be told, Margaret and Gene, and as well as our good friend Dean Wheeler, the truth be told, you know, you guys are the ones that are reading the political message into this.
Phil, this is Dean. Can I take that?
Go ahead.
I'd like to make a comment on that, too, Phil.
Okay, Dean's going to talk.
Well,
he said that I'm going to take it and then you.
Okay, all right, I'm sorry.
My feeling is that I didn't read anything into the coverage so much as I had an instinct. Now, I know that you're not buying the instinct argument. You think that I conceptualized and really brought to the air a fully formed, fully realized desire to see the news reporter here on Fox lifted from the ground and literally carried away by the winds of this hurricane until I still don't know whether it's a he-she or, excuse me, a he or a she.
I'm not trying to be funny when I say a he-she because it's very possible, you know.
I was going to say that, yeah.
What do you mean?
Well, it's possible.
Well, I think you are trying to be funny.
Let's get serious, okay?
All right, I just...
No, I think it's entirely possible that... You know, we do live in an enlightened age. We do have transgender issues. That's all I'm saying.
It's possible what?
I think they're saying that it's possible the reporter's a he-she. I only said this because I don't know the sex of the reporter. No, I understand that, Dean. I'm on your side on this. But I do agree with Mr. DiCarta.
The point is, if you want to talk about the, issues of transgender politics, I'm trying to be liberal here, and I'm a conservative, but if it's a he-she... that you want to see picked up and blown, and again, there's a you know, 50-cent word right there that's going to get you into trouble. And
I didn't use that word in that sense.
There's no, you guys are getting way off the point here.
Yeah, all I wanted to say was,
from the standpoint that this was a fully conceptualized, fully formed idea that I wanted to see the he-she, or the he-she, or he-she, whoever the reporter is, my God, I can't believe you. You don't get bogged down in it.
Again, if I'm the most liberal person on this topic, and I'm a conservative...
No, all right, fine. The he or the she or the he-she that is the reporter, if you're saying that that was a fully conceptualized idea and that I wanted them lifted off the ground by hurricane-force winds and driven into a plate glass window... don't you think I could have lent more specificity to it? For instance, I could say they could be lifted off the ground and flown through the air by the hurricane force winds head first, so that they went through a plate glass window with shards of glass like sabers, like large knives, and that they are driven head first like a spear through that window. There'd be nothing left. There certainly would be nothing left of the head. Don't you think I could lend that kind of specificity to it?
I don't know. I think it depends on how disturbed someone is, you know.
Well, that's easy for you to say. I should say so.
Well,
that is easy for you to say. You're the one that said you wanted to see this guy, whoever. I love him. His name's what?
Anderson Cooper.
Yes, I know Anderson. Anderson Cooper. I'm sorry, but I got sidetracked. That's easy for you to say. You just said you wanted to see Anderson Cooper's head taken clean off, so I don't get it.
All right, let me now get Bob Bakian on the line here. He has a report to do from the ground, boots on the ground in the city of New Orleans tonight. Bob Bakian reporting here on the Phil Hendry Show. Bob, go ahead.
Thank you very much, Phil. Bob Bakian here in New Orleans, and we are indeed boots on the ground here tonight, fellas. We're reporting on the storm here in Hurricane Alley, Hurricane Isaac. And we say Hurricane Alley, of course. It seems every single year there is a hurricane threatening this part of the Gulf Coast from the Gulf. Now, as we look at Hurricane Isaac, we are looking at wind speeds of up to 80 miles per hour right now. They are wind gusting up to 100 miles per hour. The eye of the storm show right now is just off the Hurricane Alley coast of New Orleans. And right now, most of the wind and most of the rainfall is happening right there in that concentric area, very, very tight spiral area. You can imagine a football being thrown to the air. That's exactly what a football looks like, and that's exactly what a hurricane looks like in the football. It looks just like a football. And here in the city of New Orleans right now, and I'm standing, Phil, not more than 5 feet away from the Superdome, as this was the site of great relief efforts that were made, some of them very misguided relief efforts during Hurricane Katrina. But right now, what we're feeling is a lot of wind, a lot of rain. Right now, though, the center of the storm is off the coast, but it's very windy.
Okay, I want to ask something, Bob. The hurricane winds in New Orleans, where are they?
They feel like they're here, but they're not. In other words, I'm making it sound as if the hurricane's right here in the city. It's not yet. It's off the coast.
Well, then don't make it sound like it's in the city.
I want it to be exciting, and I wanted it to be exciting for you, and I wanted it to be exciting for your listeners, but certainly I want to report this as accurately as I possibly can. We had some wind speeds of around 38, gusting to 38 miles an hour here in the city of New Orleans. We've got power outages. Over 310,000 customers are without power in Louisiana. I'm saying Louisiana just to add a bit of a folksy tone to it, Phil.
Yeah, just forget the folksy tone and forget the... because, you know, you can only talk as long as your music's on.
That is right, but I can tell you this, Phil. We are grounded tonight, and behind me is Eric Jeffco. And Eric is my production assistant. He's been carrying a boombox around with him, playing the eyewitness Bob Bakian on-the-scene news music. So as long as this news is playing, then Bob Bakian is talking. The minute this music stops, then, of course, I lose my ability to breathe, and generally I lose my ability to think in a coherent way. Bob Bakian reporting here from New Orleans. Right now, Phil, Hurricane Isaac, a Category 1. Isaac has not moved further inland. Additional strengthening is possible as long as it's out in the Gulf. But once it hits the land, Phil, as you know, it starts moving inland. Then, of course, the chances are the music stopped.
Okay, see, that happens all the time, and I apologize to my listeners. When Bob Bakian doesn't have his news music, apparently there is some kind of, I don't know what it is.
Well, it's like an epileptic fit, Phil, as I understand it.
An epileptic fit?
Yes. When he doesn't have his news music, then suddenly he sounds like a gibbering imbecile. And that was the word that I got from Dr. Tim Hooton and, of course, your own Dr. Sadler.
All right, Margaret Gray with us. Bob Bacon will be back with more as soon as his news music gets geared up, I guess. From New Orleans, last we heard from Bob, 80-mile-an-hour winds gusting to 100 miles an hour. It's still off of New Orleans. There is power outage to about 310,000 homes in Louisiana. In the city of New Orleans itself, though, rain is falling and a little windy, but so far, so good. We'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show after this.
Phil Hendry.
Shut up, Bob.
Yeah.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445, the first hour of our program. And really, well into this hour, we've devoted not so much to the Republican convention as we have to situation there in the southeast on the Gulf, the hurricane, as well as the news coverage of the hurricane. Bob Bakian has joined us from the streets of New Orleans, doing some of his reporting, as well as trying to give us a view of things. You know, they're ahead of the arrival of the hurricane, which is where everybody is. And Margaret Gray on the line with us as well. We're going to get Mr. DiCarta back, and I think Dean Wheeler as well. Margaret, your view of the news coverage yourself.
Well, as a newswoman, Phil, the first thing that I noticed was that your man, Mr. Is it Bakian?
Yeah.
I don't know where else he could be. You said he's on the ground there in New Orleans trying to give you a feel for what the hurricane's like, but where else is he going to be?
Well, I mean, you're right. I was referencing the fact the hurricane is still off the coast.
Right, and no one is going to be able to cover the hurricane until it gets into New Orleans. Right now it's off the coast, and unless Mr. Bakian wants to commit suicide in the name of news coverage...
What does that mean?
Well, he'd have to fly his helicopter right into that hurricane to be covering it where it is. You understand what I'm saying?
Margaret, I understand what you're saying. You don't have to give me the whole "to be covering" like I'm stupid. All right?
Well, sometimes I wonder, it's just not you, it's just everyone that I talk to in this so-called world of talk radio. In other words, for him to cover the hurricane, okay?
Okay.
He'd have to be in his helicopter flying right into it. And
that's what I mean. You're right into it. You're not talking to an idiot. I understand what you're saying. And I tell you what, let's get Bob on the phone or on the horn here.
You don't have him on the phone.
No, I got Bob. Are you there?
Phil, Bob Bakian reporting here from New Orleans. I'm listening to Ms. Gray and the comments that she was making. I'd be very happy, Ms. Gray, to get into the Bob Bakian News Chopper 1 and fly directly into the teeth of this hurricane. That makes you happy right now.
Bob, can I say something? Hello, can I say something?
Go ahead.
All right, I want to say this. Are you there, Mr. Bakian?
Bob Bakian here, yeah.
All right, no, but he can hear me, right?
Yeah, Bob, you can hear her, right?
Bob Bakian.
What is that? That means yes, he can.
Well, then would he have the common decency? Bob, can you hear me?
Bob Bakian is listening, yes.
What does that mean, Bob Bakian is listening? I don't understand that.
He's a news reporter, and he says he's listening to you. He's got some quirky stuff. He's very weird.
Well, you can say that. Weird? Are you listening to me, sir?
Bob Bakian here, yes. Bob Bakian's listening.
All right, Bob, what I'm saying, I don't want you to make a suicide run and fly your helicopter.
Bob Bakian, Newscopter 1, and Bob Bakian would never fly Newscopter 1 into the teeth of a hurricane, but if Margaret Gray, if you, Ms. Gray, want me to do that, Bob may do.
No, I don't want you to do that. I'm saying, though, you're technically not covering the hurricane until you are there. And why are you doing that?
Bob Bakian's disturbed by the things you're saying.
Will you come on? What is it with this music?
Bob Bakian can't talk unless he has his news music. That's all I was trying to tell you, Phil. I'm trying to tell Ms. Gray that Bob Bakian would be very happy to fly into the teeth of that hurricane. If, in point of fact, oh, God, please start the music. I can't talk. Yeah, Jesus.
What is going on with the... Are you running out of batteries?
we are running out of batteries. We're running out of battery power. Jim's doing the very best job he can playing it. Put it right up to my ear. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, yeah. Get it right up to my ear. Yeah. Bob Mackey and I feel comfortable now, Phil, and we are here in New Orleans, and it's just a matter of time, Bob, or Phil. Maybe I'm Bob. Maybe you're Bob. But it doesn't make any difference as long as the music plays. That's all I care about. Oh, thank God for the music. Thank God for the music.
I think there's something wrong with this man.
Bob Mackey is not paying attention to you, y'all whore. And I can tell you that...
All right, that's it, man.
Wait, man, it's getting good.
It was getting good? Nope, that's all. I don't need any of that. I can tell you right now I don't need any of that stuff because, watch this, she's going to... Margaret, I apologize.
I don't know who you think you are, and I don't know what you think you're doing. But whoever that man is, I demand an apology, or you will hear from my attorney 8 o'clock tomorrow morning, very first thing in the morning. Have a very pleasant and productive evening. Thank you so very much, gentlemen. Oh, come on. You think it's funny, huh?
Yeah, I do.
Frank.
Yeah?
Hang the phone up for me.
All right.
Damn you to hell. What are you doing, Frank?
I'm hanging the phone up like you said.
I don't think you can do it.
Oh, man.
Just pot it down, bud.
I can't.
What do you mean you can't? Pot it down. Pot it. There you go. Why is it every time they're at home, it sounds like they're out on a freeway or something?
Maybe they live near a freeway.
Maybe they live near a freeway. Well, could be. All right, I don't know really what happened there other than that Bob Bakian with his news music apparently was in danger of losing the music and at the same time...
Yeah, he is getting harassed by Margaret Grady.
Okay, well, that's understandable. Let's get Bob back on the line here so that we can continue with his report from New Orleans. Go ahead, Bob.
Thank you very much, Phil. Bob Bakian here, News Chapter 1. As Bob Bakian is zeroing in here, Hurricane Isaac, until Isaac moves inland further, additional strengthening is possible of Hurricane Isaac. Now, the storm, Phil, as we see about now, is out in the Burris. That's the to the southeast of New Orleans, Burris, Mississippi, coming in across Burris. The eye of the storm is going to be hitting Louisiana. That is the very, very southern portion of Louisiana. Storm surge expect about 6 to 12 feet in Louisiana, Mississippi. The storm strength is a Category 1, Phil. And that means that it is the least strong of the hurricanes. Sustained winds about 80 miles per hour. The maximum wind gust 105 miles per hour. Right now, Phil, though, the problem is the storm is stationary. But I can tell you something right now, Phil. We've been
70 miles south of New Orleans.
And about 900...
Whoa. Hold on for a minute. Hold on.
When I am talking too long, I begin to modulate my voice a little bit like that. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. Bob Bakian reporting.
All right, Bob. Thanks very much.
Uh-huh.
What's that? Okay. What's that? You want to explain that?
I don't know.
I mean, can we get one guy on this show that doesn't that wasn't born in a mystical land or doesn't have some curse or doesn't have a voice problem or doesn't need music? Can we get one person on this program that doesn't have some idiosyncrasy? I see, I can't even talk good.
Man, I told you, I don't like hanging around Margaret.
I've been listening to the people tonight talking and butchering words so effectively, I can't talk gooder anymore. In any event, that was Bob Bakian, and when he gets his voice back so that he's not modulating like a chipmunk, and they get more batteries for the ghetto blaster that Jim Jeffco has is walking around behind him all night long there in New Orleans to play his news music, then maybe we can have a show and at least a report on what is happening in New Orleans that is not fraught with weirdness. Fraught with weirdness, if I'm to be Margaret, if I were to, you know, quote her. Not so much her words, but her manner. All right. Hurricane Isaac with rain and wind. I lived in New Orleans for a very, very brief period of time in my rock and roll radio days. I don't know if I told you guys that.
Uh-oh.
I never told you?
No.
I lived and worked in New Orleans in 1977-78. And as fate would have it, believe it or not, in this the very brief time that I spent in New Orleans, I was in the middle of a flood. It rained so hard one day in the month of May in 1978 that it flooded the city of New Orleans. So it's the way, it's the geographic, obviously the geographic lay of the land. And the highest point of ground, and these are things that we all learned during Hurricane Katrina, but it's something that bears repeating. The highest point of ground in the city of New Orleans, where do you think that is?
What do you mean?
What's the highest piece of ground in New Orleans? The highest piece of ground?
Well, probably like in a building or something.
No, not the building, man. You know.
Yeah, that'd be the highest piece of ground.
No, that's a structure. I'm talking about ground, land, terra firma. Where is, you don't know, do you? It's the French Quarter. That's where the city was formed. That's the original center of the city of New Orleans. That's where the city started. And obviously, whoever founded the city, the Spanish, the French, and the natives of the area, the Europeans, they decided on the best piece of ground on which they should begin to erect their fortifications in those days, which eventually surrounded the shops and the merchants and wherever they were going to do their farming and so on and so forth. So the highest piece of ground is the French Quarter. And if you remember from Hurricane Katrina, the television shots, the video shots from New Orleans, generally when the shot included the French Quarter, the streets were wet with rain, but they were not flooded. They were not flooded. And if memory serves, they did not get flooded to any great degree. So if you had a home in the French Quarter, and like I was telling you guys during the break, when I first moved there, everybody that I was working with at the radio station, just about everybody lived in the French Quarter. And the station I worked at was in the French Quarter on Bienville Street. So everyone had an apartment or some residence in the quarter. And they were all saying to me, Phil, you really ought to move here because it's close to the station. And it would have been fantastic. I would have been within walking distance of the station. And really, in the French Quarter of New Orleans, it's a community. It's a neighborhood. It has its little entertainment areas there, you know, the Bourbon Street and all that stuff. It has shops. It has grocery stores, churches, places to worship, parks. It's a marvelously contained, very colorful, and really just a great, great piece of American neighborhood life living in the quarter. And I didn't because it was expensive. And what you had to do, if you rented a place in the French Quarter in those days, one of my friends who worked at the station, this guy had rented an apartment there, and he said, yeah, I spent a month shoveling dirt out of the thing. I mean, it came as is. Nobody was cleaning anything up for your ass, you know. You want a place in the quarter? Here it is. And probably back then, and we're talking late 70s, it was probably approaching $1,000 a month. That was a lot of bread in those days. So I decided just...
Yeah, you wound up moving with... You said you lived with a chick or something.
Yeah, I lived with a chick who had a boyfriend, thank you very much, okay? So don't make a big thing out of it.
Yeah, but I bet you didn't try to tap it?
No, I didn't try to tap it, okay? That's the kind of square I am. I was very cool about it. All right, we'll be right back here. Didn't try to tap it. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show as I look at myself here on the videocast. What's that red thing on my face right there? What is that?
Probably a hickey.
No, it can't be a hickey because no girl has kissed me in months, if not years. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. A hickey.
Truth
just below my
is
eye.
Our
that's,
bitch.
That's good.
The Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and I'm just sort of messing around with backgrounds here on Phil TV and HD because we are trying to... Well, there is... there it is. Okay. That'll work. What do you think?
Yeah, it looks pretty good right there, man. The thing you have on the thing. Yeah, it tastes good.
All right. We have camera 3, and what we've essentially done is we've got camera 3 as a backdrop to us here, and I think that'll probably work for the time being. I don't want it to be a distraction... But there it is. Why is that smoke and a lion jumping? Oh, that's a commercial. All right. Welcome back. Our number is 877-876-7445 here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And, of course, online at philhendryshow.com, where you are certainly welcome to watch, if you wish, Phil TV in HD. And that's something that we're excited about. It's a facet. It's an offering that we present. a video view of our radio show. Now, joining us to talk a little bit about another story that's bizarre, and at the same time, it's an important story to talk about. And when I say bizarre, one would think that of all the professions that exist in this world that would take a great deal of care in protecting its workers from venereal disease, one would think it's the so-called porn or adult film business. And yet that has not been the case. That has, in point of fact, been not the case at all recently, because there is, it would seem, a syphilis epidemic or some form of a syphilis outbreak among adult film actors, not only in the city of Los Angeles, where there's a lot of adult film business done, but also in Europe, in the so-called porn capitals of Europe, one of which is Budapest. I believe the others are St. Petersburg, Florida. And the third city, if I'm not mistaken, is Vienna, Austria. I could be wrong. On the line with me is Dr. Jim Sadler, who has spoken with a number of these actors and producers and is trying to get a feel in terms of the health risk to the other performers, get a feel for what exactly is going on. Dr. Sadler, you are a psychologist. You're not a medical doctor. What is your interest in this?
I think, Phil, the interest that I have is pretty basic, and that is the mental health as well as the psychiatric health of adult film actors, and what would prompt certain performers to work even though they are physically at risk, and or putting other people at risk. These are very important considerations. So while this has to be attacked, this problem has to be attacked on a physical level, on a medical level, and very much so on the medical level, it has to be attacked on a psychological level as well.
All right, joining me here is, as well as Dr. Sadler, is a part-time adult film performer as well as a part-time adult film actor, and that is Chris Norton from Redondo Beach, California. We've talked to Chris many times. Chris, how are you?
Hi, Phil.
Tell me, Chris, about your knowledge, your experience with the information you're getting. What are you hearing concerning this venereal disease problem that's happening in the adult film industry in Southern California and in Europe?
Kind of what I'm hearing more than anything else, Phil, is that actors are being, you know, proactive. They're getting treatment. They're getting, penicillin antibiotic shots to treat it. And also, the problem they're having in Europe as opposed to United States is the treatment in the United States takes maybe 10 days or something, and you can go back to performing. That's what the producers in Los Angeles and elsewhere in the United States generally recommend, where in Europe it takes 30 days to 60 days. And if it's taken any more from 30 to 60 days, then you've got a backlog, if you'll pardon, the log is, backed up or whatever. I don't kind of have a porn, I just put a porn, sort of a porn spin on it, but there's a log that's getting, backed way up in there. And I guess, maybe that's good in porn sense, but in a real sense.
I'm not sure I understand.
I'm sorry, I was trying to be too fancy. I'm just saying there's a backlog of production in Europe, and that's because of the fact that you can't go right back to performing right away.
And this is Dr. Sadler, Chris.
Yeah, Doc, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I know Chris, Phil. My wife, Tammy, and I know Chris from the old days.
We sure do.
And I did not anticipate talking to you, but I'm very, very happy to be talking to you.
Where do you know Chris from?
Well,
it's a long story.
It is. It's a long story, but nonetheless, I wanted to ask you, Chris. You, I know, and I don't think I'm talking out of school, if you don't mind. I know you were treated eventually, right?
Yeah, I was. I guess.
Well, I can tell the story. You can.
It's kind of getting sidetracked here.
What story are we going to talk about?
Well, I came on the program just to talk about the entrepreneurial disease, you know, and the fact that when you work in the adult film business, you are constantly having to get a shot or dealing with, you know, double D. I mean, we call it dealing with drip. And that's just a part of it.
As long as you brought that up, I wanted to tell Phil where I met you. And so, Phil, you and your audience can get an idea. My wife, Tammy...
Yeah, but before you do that, Doc, get an idea of what?
So Phil and his audience can get an idea of what I'm dealing with here as a medical professional and what you not only deal with, but what you did.
See, that, I'm not sure I'm comfortable with that, you know?
Well, I think I didn't know that I was going to be talking to you.
Gentlemen, I'm a little lost here as to what we're talking about.
All right. Well, what we're talking about, Phil, is my wife, Tammy, before I met her, was an adult film performer herself. And
we have to take a break.
You know, I don't know what to say.
What, I just got on.
I know we have to take a break. I'm sorry.
I don't know what to say. I feel raped.
Sorry. We'll bring them back. Don't worry, folks. 877-876-7445. Phil Henry Show. Sorry, I just...
Why? Why can't I?
Quit crying like Dean Wheeler, all right?
Phil.